thinking of that too. You were thinking of that too, huh? Yeah, that bit that I wrote in How to Quit Church Without Quitting God about the sign. Yeah, what did it say? I just happen to have a copy of my book right here, but I forgot to put my watch on. Hang on. Yeah, it was a church sign that said, "Because they served, we are free to worship." And this touches on my theme here this week of government-mandated religion and why it's good when church and state is separated until the time when Jesus Christ returns. Then church and state are going to be wonderfully joined, but only God can do that. Right, church meaning worship and state meaning politics. Religion and politics, I told you, all the way down. That's what church and state is. It's religion, church, and politics, state. And human beings don't have the wisdom to make this happen, because when any religion thinks it's the best, then it's going to impose its religion upon others. And the problem is, Islam thinks it's the best religion. Christianity thinks it's the best religion. Hinduism thinks it is. Buddhism thinks it is. I suppose the Christian Scientists, those are all branches of Christianity. Everybody thinks theirs is the best. And I love it when people ask me if I think Christianity is better than Islam. And I always say no, because I put all these religions in the same boat. That is the radical but true teaching you're getting here that you're not getting anywhere else, is Christianity is just as much a religion as these others, and it is going to go. In fact, I will be so bold as to say, because of what I read in Daniel and the unveiling, that Christianity is the worst of the bunch, because it's the closest to the real thing, uses the right terms, says the right words, names the name of Christ. That's how dangerous it is. I just happen to have a copy of my book. I'm showing it to you on the studio cam, called How to Quit Church Without Quitting God. Oh, the lighting is horrible there. Let me see if I can move this for you. Okay, you're not getting the title. Anyway, I swear that's the title, How to Quit Church Without Quitting God. It's the paperback version. And if you don't have one, order one and give it to your friends and soon-to-be ex-friends. Now, I love this part about where we're supposed to worship. You don't want government-sanctioned worship. I remember a church sign. I'm going to be paraphrasing from this, and then I'm going to go back to the points of ISIS. I got to get to the rest of the 11 commandments of ISIS. Now, God had 10, Moses had 10, ISIS has 11. So they upped the game, upped the ante here. But unlike the law of Moses, I can do the law of ISIS, and I will show you how. This church sign I saw back in my hometown of Greenwich, my ex-hometown. See, they kicked me out of there. "Because they served, we are free to worship." I think that was on the church sign at Veterans Day. And I do love our veterans. Yes, defend our country from evil people with tiny mustaches. I'm all for that. But because they served, we are free to worship? No. Do not die for my supposed freedom to worship, because I am free to worship in a gulag. I'm free to worship in a prison camp. I'm free to worship anywhere. No army can take away my freedom to worship, because my freedom to worship happens according to the Spirit. This sign assumes that your freedom of worship has to do with an outside structure, has to do with whether a ritual or a building, because that can be taken away by an army or a government. But you can't take away my spirit. Nothing can do that. And that's where I worship, in spirit and in truth. And so in the book, I say, I appreciate what our veterans have done, and I still do, to keep enemies from our shores, but fighting for my freedom to worship, don't do it. I can worship God in jail, in a prison camp, in a nation overtaken by militants of any persuasion. And I quote 1 Corinthians 3:16 here, Paul writing, "Don't you realize that you yourselves are the temple of God?" You yourselves. It's inside of us, and that God's Spirit lives in you. But Christians, and this sign proves it, have reduced worship to gathering, into buildings, and to ceremonies. There are good reasons to fight for this country, but for my freedom to worship, that's not a good reason. All right, I'm going back to Glenn Beck here, and I'm going to get this toggling to go smoothly, and let's hope my lighting doesn't collapse on me. We talked about the first two. Christians may not build churches. Yes! Thank you, ISIS. Christians may not build churches. That's what my rules would say also. Or monasteries or hermitages. They might not show the cross. All right! I can't stand seeing the cross around people's necks. It's so external. It's so, I'm a Christian. Look at me. Of course, you know, I always like to roll the R's. I'm a Christian. I have a cross that proves I'm a Christian. Oh, so many R's can be rolled in this extravagant boast. So get rid of all the jewelry. I'm for it. Fantastic. They may not use amplifiers when worshiping. I would definitely make that a rule in my religion. No amplifiers, especially during prayer. You're supposed to pray. It's a shame that this has to be mentioned by the gentleman at ISIS, that you have to that use amplifiers during prayer. You're supposed to pray in your closet secretly to God. And I suppose if the Pharisees had amplifiers available to them, a nice little Vox amplifier, they would do it. I've seen street preachers in every major city in the United States of America with their amplifiers set up shop on the street corner, and they would be killed by ISIS. I'm not happy about that they'd be killed, but I mean, it would cut down on the street noise. I'm not saying that I'm happy about that, but if ISIS says keep your speakers home and you don't, then like Paul says, not for vain is the authority wearing the sword. And the sword is literal there with ISIS, as you know. Number three, they may not make Muslims hear the reciting of their books or the sound of church bells, which must be rung only inside their churches. I am so for this. I don't like the church bells here in Canton, Ohio, from St. Joseph's Catholic Church on West Tuscarawas Street. I don't like it. It gives me the creeps. Boom, boom. Keep it to yourself. Boom, 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 boom. If I want to know what time it is, I'll look at my watch. I have a watch here. I don't need the bells to ring like they did in 1742. That's the last time we really needed bells to tell us what time it was. 1742. Why are you still doing this? Why? It's like the doctor's office. You know, they still have those glass jars with cotton balls and tongue depressors because that's the way it was in 1742. And they haven't gotten the idea that you don't need to stick out your tongue anymore and say, and have it pressed down with a wooden stick. But they're in this stupid habit. And a cotton ball, what in the hell is that even for? I don't know. But it's there. The doctor's office still had it, and churches still ring their damn bells. Some people think it's pleasant. I think it's hideous. Amen. We don't want to hear your stupid church bells because we just don't want to hear it. It reminds me that there are Christians down the road who believe in eternal torment. Every time I hear those bells, there's a Christian church down there that believes in eternal torment and probably thinks I'm a heretic. Why do I want to hear that? Amen. Number four, they may not carry out any act of aggression against ISIS, such as giving refuge to spies and wanted men. If they come to know any plot against Muslims, they must report it. I have no problem with this. I do not want to carry out an act of aggression against anyone. Not my friends. Well, sometimes my friends, but certainly not my enemies. And according to Paul in the end of Romans 12 and Romans 13, we are to do good to our enemies, not exercise acts of aggression upon them. We're to heap burning coals upon their head. That's not literal. That means you be nice to them. Even when they're mean to you, they spit on you, you say God bless you, and it makes them feel guilty. Maybe not right then, but when they're laying on their bed at night staring up at the ceiling tiles, they may think, that guy, that's never happened to me before. It's an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth out on the street, you know? And Christians still act that way, really. An eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. I still don't see much grace. Any plot against Muslims, they must report it. Well, how can they know if you know of a plot anyway? But I'm not going to give refuge to any spies. No, what do I look like, Rahab? Number five, they must not perform religious rituals in public. Yay! Once again, I applaud this commandment. This is commandment number 5. Must not perform religious rituals in public. I would even, in my religion, I would outlaw religious rituals in private. I would say you can't even do them in your house or in your kitchen. I want to get rid of all rituals. Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, let no one be your judge according to holy days or Sabbaths. Let no one judge you. So these guys are into it here. I mean, this is unbelievable. This is coming from ISIS. I don't recommend this group. I'm not applauding them. The violence is awful. Please understand. But everything I've read with here, I totally agree with it. And I would sign this in red ink. 6, they must respect Muslims and not criticize their religion. All right. I would have no problem with this because I have less criticism against the Muslim religion than I do the Christian religion. As long as I'm allowed to criticize Christianity, I can live. Because if you prohibited me from criticizing Christianity, I might blow a gasket. But the Muslims, they would be happy about that. So I would actually be, they would actually like me, and they actually might loan me their amplifiers and give me a street corner as long as I criticize Christianity. And I'd be going on that noise all day. You couldn't shut me up on that. How much time do I have left? He toggles over. Okay. We may have to finish this tomorrow, but this is fun. I like this. Can you believe this? I'm with all of this. Okay, number 7. Oh, this is the jizz payment. Yeah, this is the jizz fee. Wealthy Christians must pay an annual jizya of 4 golden dinars, which I call the annual jizz fee. Middle-class Christians must pay 2 gold dinars, and the poor, that would be me, must pay 1 golden dinar. I'll let you know tomorrow how much a dinar is, if I'm pronouncing it right. D-I-N. This is the, apparently, the Islam currency, dinar. I will find out how much 1 is, because I would qualify, and I'll let you know how much that is in U.S. dollars, and we'll see if I can afford that. I will gladly pay the annual jizz fee, no problem. Christians must pay 2 jizz fees, and okay, yeah. And I'm not a Christian. You've heard me say that. I'm on record. If they ask me if I'm a Christian, I'll say, hell no. I'm not a Christian. I don't have to pay the jizz fee because I'm not a Christian. So that would be fantastic. Number 8. This is a good one. I've got to save it for tomorrow because I'm up against the clock, and I did not need St. Joseph's Catholic Church down the road to tell me I'm against the clock. I have a fancy little digital thing here on my computer, and it goes, brrr, it even tells me the 1/100th of a second where I am. Tomorrow, more on this exciting and entertaining theme. And do not let the government or any organization tell you whether or not you can or cannot worship. Because if they can tell you you can't, then you're not worshiping correctly. True worship does not happen in a building or with a ritual. It happens in spirit and in truth.